And, you know, I'm hoping that what this is going to do, and I'm hoping that the hysteria at present is going to die down, is that we are going to address that issue and we're going to say, hey, we've been holding soldiers for all this time and we didn't give them the rights that we should. The conflict's coming to an end. They've got to go home.
We're going to leave it there, but we're going to pick up this conversation next week. Andy Worthington, British journalist who recently wrote the piece Missing the Point on the Guantanamo Taliban Prisoner Swap and the release of Bo Bergdahl. His book is called Guantanamo Files, and we'll link to the article at democracynow.org. And thanks so much, Frank Goldsmith, for joining us representing one of the prisoners, Khairullah Kharqua, who is now in Qatar. That does it for the broadcast. Our website is democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berger, Nate Balzara, Matthew Nimitz, Shakespeare, Martinez, Sam Malkoff, Anima Sugarby, Karen Dina Gester, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Warren Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show. And we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. This one is for Friday, June the 6th, 2014. We're here live at Henry Ford Community College in our WHFR studios. Hope you're having a good day out there. Of course, the Henry Ford College is closed for the summer on Fridays as well as Saturdays and Sundays, so they can get some little sprucing up and repair work done around here. But there are still things, exciting things that are going on, such as in our theater program. And we have a special guest with us today from the director and one of the cast of the play coming up next weekend and the weekend after next weekend. It's a Neil Simon play. And so I want to welcome Jerry Jablinski and Michael from the cast to the journal. Let's start with the director. How did you come about? We've always chosen plays that are a little different and challenging. We have done some well-known name plays at times, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, even as an English major and an English teacher here for many years at the college, I had never heard of this play by Neil Simon. Neil Simon, sure, I've heard of. So how did you discover it? How did you choose it?
Well, it's one of his lesser-known works, and it was not extraordinarily successful on Broadway. It had a very short run, and maybe that's because it's a little quirkier in terms of its subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place, first of all, in the late 1800s in a remote Ukraine village.
Ukraine, that's relevant.
Yes, it is. It certainly is.
In a way.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Today.
Unquestionably.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, connected to his heritage loosely. I don't know specifically where he was born or where his ancestry was.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a comedy about that village and a curse that occurred that makes everybody in the village stupid. And so
okay. I didn't know anybody needed extra help.
Well, I guess some of us do.
Okay.
You know, but when I came across that premise, as we were talking earlier, that premise really interested me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and I read it, and it's a real quick, easy read. It's a fun, fun show. And I really enjoyed it. And he subtitles it a comic fable because it really is, right? It reads like a folk tale, but it reads sort of like a modern folk tale.
Mm-hmm.
In some of our modern understandings of how intelligence and lack of intelligence and emotion interact psychologically. And I'm real interested in that. You know, I have a background in psychology and communications as well as theater.
And Neil Simon, the name is probably familiar to most of our listeners, but he's most famous for, about a dozen or so plays, many of which have become, big-time Hollywood movies, and one, The Odd Couple, became a big-time TV show for many years.
Yes, yeah, yeah. He's got a whole list of plays. He's been writing now for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of them were translated into films, television shows, and have had long runs on Broadway, and are a great part of the comic repertory in training facilities such as ours because he has such a wonderful comic touch in his writing.
Yeah, there's something about the kind of dialogue and the wittiness, the subtle wittiness, not outright humor in a bare bones sort of way, but it's always a little bit cutting, but still very significant and socially relevant. But this play, the Fable, is amazing to me, and it sounds really exciting. I definitely am going to try to get there. I haven't for a while. I always feel guilty of taking up a seat from someone else. Is this going to be the close on seating this time, or
well, what we're doing something a little bit different.
Okay,
we're going to be performing on the apron of the stage. We have quite a big apron; it's about 15 feet deep.
Right,
and we're going to be seating the audience actually in the house, so they're in the comfortable seats, but they're only going to be seated in the front half of the house.
Okay,
so it's going to have an intimacy to it, but not as we often do in the spring and summer, where we seat the audience on stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great, though. That's play performances up close like that are, I think they're especially challenging for the cast because the audience is so darn close. But the audience gets to see the facial expressions and the emotion more so than if they were seated, you know, all the way at the back of the auditorium, let's say.
Of course, of course.
More intimate.
And that's part of course, the wonder and the greatness of theater is that you're actually face-to-face with these actors. And it's a wonderful opportunity for our students, too, because they get a chance to perform in different types of seating arrangements and proximities to the audience.
Let's talk about the cast a little bit, the people, the actors for the play. And, of course, Michael is sitting right here, right next to you. So, Jerry, want to give him a little introduction, and then he can tell us about his part?
Sure. Mike Ross is one of the cast members, and he plays the Stepping Man, who's one of the people who live in the village. And the village, as I mentioned earlier, is just cursed with stupidity from this 200-year-old curse from a failed marriage. Mm. And so a school teacher arrives to try to break the curse. And Mike plays one of those villagers who is affected both by the curse and then also at the end by the curse's release.
Hmm. Spoiler alert. Okay. But still, Mike, how did you decide to become, why did you decide to audition for the play, first of all? Or did somebody come and twist your arm?
No, I've been involved with theater for about 2 years now.
Okay.
I'm going to be going on to the university.
Great.
And I just enjoy theater, and I've been doing it, and this is I've done more than one play. Mm-hmm. So I just got involved, and I learned to enjoy it, and I really like it. And I auditioned for this play because I take plays that I really think that I would really want to be in. I've been in a few, but this one really sparked my interest. So mm-hmm. I said, I want in on this play. But I also work on the tech end, too. So I'm working on the stage, but I'm also working behind the scenes, too. I'm like a stagehand, and I really help out. So that really makes me more want to make a contribution to the play.
Mike's a great painter. He's got a great straight line ability to paint. He's wonderful. Wow. He's very patient. So
yeah, you can't do a play usually. I mean, they have something called naked staging, but really, which I think was sort of Shakespearean. I mean, very basic. Just
right,
the actors would bring their own props and their own.
Yeah, just
they'd wear
things.
A crown if they were a king, but just the minor things. But these days, of course, audiences like to have a little bit more symbolic elements in the environment to clue them in on what's going on. But you, Mike, you were saying earlier that to me that you actually developed this part yourself as a part of the class exercise.
We can project our own ideas, and Mr. Davinsky is very, very cooperative about accepting our ideas and putting them into play for the play.
Great.
But mostly I like working in the theater because it's hands-on work. You actually work in the theater. So you're getting work experience, plus you're performing, plus you're doing things around the theater, which is you're gaining experience. That's what I really like about the theater.
It's educational as well as developing the skills.
Correct. Too. Work experience.
Exactly.
We're hands-on work. That's what I like.
In our few minutes that we have to talk about this, Jerry, you actually have some recent graduates of our theater program, which is part of the social science division now. They changed their name, but it's still the same crew of professionals doing the play, and it's still in the Adrey Auditorium, just a little reshuffling here at Henry Ford College. But what about the graduates? They have a few of them have had great success recently.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of grads who go on to study in undergrad programs, but a couple of our grads from a few years ago finished off their undergrads at different institutions, and Brandon Grants is now in his third and final year of his MFA program, Master of Fine Arts program, at the Hilbury Theater Graduate School.
Right.
And Mike Fisher, another grad, is just finished his BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts, at the Wayne State undergrad program and just received a full-ride scholarship to the University of Florida's graduate program in acting.
Wow. And, of course, the fine arts degrees do involve actually performing, being creative. It's not just the classroom work, too. I mean, there are classroom credits, but but a fine arts degree, whether it's bachelor's or master's or whatever, always has to include the performance aspect. And I think this is a wonderful credit to those students, and it's a great training ground here. You say, well, we're just a two-year college. Well, you know, we're not just a community college anymore. We dropped that word community, and we do have several programs that are quite unique in the area, and a lot of special offerings, like our theater programs to the public, that take students several steps beyond what might be expected in just the first 2 years at any school.
That's right. Tim Pollack, another recent graduate, is now in his just finished up his first year at the Scottish Academy of Dramatic Arts in Scotland.
Wow.
And Henry Ford is an excellent college to go to. It's outstanding as far as going on to the university. I can protest to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And that's Michael Ross, who's in the cast of Fools. Let me give the summary, and then if I forget something, Jerry, check it out here. Fools, a comic fable by Neil Simon, is going to be performed here at Henry Ford College in our Adrey Auditorium June 19th through 21st. That is next weekend, and that's at 8 p.m. And June 22nd, so it's Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. And the same thing the following weekend, Thursday through Sunday, June 26th through 28th at 8 p.m. and June 29th at 2 p.m. Ticket price, just $10 general admission. Is that cheaper than movies these days?
Just about the same.
Yeah, okay. John Conroy is here, too, our WHFR news director. I haven't let him talk yet, but that'll next segment. Don't worry, John.
No worries.
If you're a student or a senior or you're on the staff here at Henry Ford College, just show some sort of identification that's appropriate and you get a couple bucks off, $8. You can buy tickets online. That's kind of new.
Yep, we just instituted that about 6 months ago.
Okay, well, let's see. I'm catching up here. And it's the website for that is Theater, but that's the fancy theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, which if you're serious about theater, that's how you spell it, theatre.hfcc.edu. Okay.
And then just click on the buy tickets link, and that'll allow you to do that.
Yeah, we always had some sort of call in and just reserve tickets.
Sure.
But some people,
it's easier
sometimes. It's good to
sign
up and get it out of the way. You know, you just go there, you can grab the tickets from the desk in front of the auditorium and go right on in. So that's a nice thing to do. For more information, you can call the theater hotline number, if you will, 313-845-9817. So it's 845-9817 if you wanted to call. But come on by next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend, starting Thursday, June 19th, going through Saturday night at 8 p.m. performances, and June 22 at 2 p.m. That's the Sunday performance. Same thing the week after that. We'll continue to mention here at the station, of course, over the air. I think that's about it. Anything else? I mean, this really sounds exciting. Something coming up next? Is there a play in summer, Jerry?
There's a couple of things I want to mention real quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
Our summer show is The Good Doctor, directed by Metropolitan Area actress Mary Bremer. It's also a comedy. It's also by Neil Simon. So we're doing kind of a little mini Neil Simon fest this summer. That's the middle two weekends in August. And then in the fall, we have our third virtual reality show, Dr. Popovich and the Virtual Theatricality Lab. We've done The Tempest and The Skryker. This one's for children. It's called Dinosaurus. It uses 3D rear projection. And we have talking dinosaurs that are 12 feet high for the children to come and see. And we have student matinees and, of course, weekend performances for families. It's going to run essentially through the month of November and close right before Thanksgiving.
The technical problem with that is cleaning up after the dinosaurs. I mean, that's got to be a really big mess.
Actually, the Pteranodon is very nice. She brings a broom on afterwards.
They've
and,
already
sweeps
met
everything up.
Okay, okay. No, that's again, live actors, but all of pretty much all of the surroundings are done by a computer, and you wear special glasses, not Google Glass, but something like that, in order to get the full effect. I think I went to the first one, which was The Tempest.
That's correct, yes.
You know, and that was a sci-fi version with flying saucers, and it was tremendous. But you have to get, and I know they've already had stories in the weekly local papers about it, because you have to get tickets in advance. And I think, are they starting now?
We've already sold some seats,
Because there's limited number of glasses and angles on the stage. So is it 15 people a time? Or?
We seat 80 per performance.
Oh, 80. Okay, but that's still much less than the auditorium holds.
Of course,
normally,
which is 400, yes.
Yeah. So you have to look forward to that. That's a really special experience. We've gotten accolades from all around the country because of the virtual reality theater productions that we do every couple of years. And that's kind of state-of-the-art across the whole U.S. There aren't too many other programs that are offering even that as a learning experience for people like Michael or, you know, just for the audience.
I'm involved in it, too.
Yeah,
I'm part of the production already.
Okay.
We're already starting it.
Yeah, it's a long process. You can't just pull it together in a couple of weeks. The computer work alone takes a lot of time to create the animation.
Yes, the lab uses motion capture. Green screen techniques, as well as rear projection stereoscopic scenery.
And that's going to be November?
November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look forward to that. So coming up next weekend and the weekend after, Fools, and then in the middle of August, The Good Doctor, another Neil Simon play, and in the fall, Dinosaurus in November. It's very exciting.
And then we're bringing back our musical, I want to mention real quickly.
Okay, sure.
In the spring, in April, we'll be doing Hairspray.
Hairspray, whoa. originally a movie by John Walters. Okay. But it's recently a big-time Hollywood re-release, too. Didn't they redo it? And it's a Broadway revival every couple of years.
Oh, so yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
The
a lot
stage
of crazy
show, I think,
fun.
is a lot more interesting than the film in the sense that you get to really see the energy of the actors and singers and dancers there.
So. Oh, that's something to look forward to. That'll be the springtime 2015, but plan ahead. Thank you very much, Jerry and Michael, for coming by today, and good luck with Fools. It sounds like a very enticing comedy, very attractive to me. I like things with sort of social themes woven in anyway, but everybody knows how good Neil Simon is at comedic plays, so I'm sure it'll be very successful. So we'll keep talking about it, and... break a leg. Can I say that now? Or is
you
that just the night of the production?
Okay. You can say that anytime.
That doesn't really mean they're going to break their legs, folks. You know, that's a theater thing about good luck. Okay, right. Fine. We're going to take a little break as we get our equipment reset here. And here's a summary of the week in Michigan politics from Michigan Radio.
Well, it is official. Legislation to give almost $200 million to Detroit is now headed to Governor Rick Snyder's desk. The money is to prevent deep cuts to retiree pensions and the sale of art from the Detroit Institute of Arts. Jack, what does this legislation say about the state's relationship with our biggest city?
Well, it's sort of a good news thing in a way. In fact, as Senator Randy Richardville, the Senate Majority Leader, said, The only thing separating Detroit and Michigan is a comma. It indicates a realization that we're sort of all in this together, but it's important to remember this is not a done deal. The governor, of course, is going to sign this, but the grand bargain still has to be approved by active workers and retirees who are being asked to take some pension cuts, not as many as would be imposed otherwise, and it's not clear if they'll vote for it. We won't know until July 11th. And then, of course, the U.S. bankruptcy judge Stephen Rhodes has to accept the whole deal. So it is a very positive sign, but we're not completely out of the woods yet as far as Detroit's concerned.
Let's talk about the UAW. The United Auto Workers voted yesterday to raise dues for the first time in nearly 50 years. Fill us in on what's happening here with the union.
Well, this is a union that's in crisis. It's been in crisis for some time. Its membership is now less than 400,000. It was four times that in the 1970s, almost four times that. A lot of these UAW workers today are not in the automotive industry itself. And the big question is sort of survival. Now, outgoing President Bob King staked his future on being able to organize a so-called transplant. So those are the factories built mainly in the South by foreign automakers like Nissan and Volkswagen. He failed completely, even in a Tennessee Volkswagen plant where Volkswagen wanted the workers to vote to join the UAW. They voted against it. So Bob King goes out a failure. They'll put sort of good words on that. His successor, Dennis Williams, the Secretary Treasurer of the UAW, has 4 years to try to do better. Now, they have stemmed the membership decline a little bit. In fact, numerically, they're up a tiny bit from where they were. But unless things change by maybe the end of next year, there'll be more auto workers in this country who are not members of the UAW than there are ones who are, and that is not a good trend.
And finally, Jack, legislators still cannot seem to agree on road funding. There was even a special Senate meeting this week to discuss road funding. Nothing seemed to move forward. Now, last week, lawmakers acted very quickly when it came to the minimum wage. But now we've been talking about roads for months. What is the holdup with roads?
Well, I've been very critical of the legislature, but let's give them some credit for something. They got two major things, the grand bargain and minimum wage, done in the last couple of weeks, plus they had this big conference at Mackinac where a lot of them were. But the problem with the roads is the Senate, again, sort of the leadership of Randy Richardville, has got a more realistic proposal where they would raise gas taxes to eventually produce about $1.5 billion a year, not right away, not for a couple of years, but that's sort of the minimum needed for the roads. The House is just wanting to cobble together maybe $400 million of existing revenues, which would not even slow to decline very much, would throw some asphalt in some potholes. And these two houses are far apart on this. The Senate proposal is much closer to Governor Snyder's proposal 2 years ago of $1.2 billion a year for 10 years. People say now you'll need more money than that. And one interesting thing that hasn't been much talked about is there's a lot of sentiment to greatly increase registration fees on these giant trucks, which are the main culprits in sort of pounding our roads in the gravel. So we'll see if they can come up with a compromise. They're very far apart, and these lawmakers want a break to run for re-election, and they don't want a break to run for re-election, many of them having just raised people's taxes. But on the other hand, polls show that fixing the roads is the one thing that people are willing to pay more taxes for. So hold on to your hats. It'll be an interesting week or two.
All right, Jack. As always, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we thank Michigan Public Radio for that summary, featuring, of course, the inimitable Jack Lessenberry. And a lot of things did happen in Michigan politics this week. And John Conroy, though, is here to help me talk about that and other things. John is our new WHFR news director. New news. That's all we want to do is new news. John, first of all, what about that Henry Ford College 5101 restaurant international buffet yesterday? I saw you there, or you came over and saw me afterwards.
Yes, Jay, it was a hog roast, Hawaiian luau type of get-together, and the foods were very excellent, a shrimp bisque, crab salad, different types of rices. There was a rice that had a garlic flavor to it and a rice that had a coconut flavor to it.
Wow.
And, of course, the pork was fantastic, and The chicken was very good. The whole meal was pretty amazing.
And it's a buffet, so if you really wanted to, you could go back for seconds on some things, right? But there's so many choices, it'd be hard to actually get one of each, I bet.
Too many choices. You just had to have a little bit of each.
These are very popular. We've been doing them during our so-called spring semester for the last maybe 5 or 6 years now. And it is something. Did you have tickets in advance, John?
No tickets in advance, okay. But I did make reservations in advance.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, and I always recommend that. Yes,
and I've been bringing friends with me as well to the to each one of them mm-hmm. that has occurred, and they've all had a great time. It's been really nice.
You know? That's great. Yeah. Okay.
The folks there really do a good job of prepare. I mean, these are all students that do the preparation, the serving, the cleaning up, and the greeting, and they just do a terrific job. And there's a number of weeks still happening, including next week, which is going to be featuring a Spanish New World theme. And then after that, there'll be an Old World cuisine. And after that, an international brunch.
So Spanish New World is something like Mexican, Latin American?
Because
we are the new world, you know, and there's the old world back there on the other side of the Atlantic. So it's probably Spanish American or Spanish Latin American.
Americas and the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
And I expect to be able to bring some friends for each one of these coming up because they're very popular.
And the time frame is from 11 to?
11 to 1.
1, yep. Okay. And you can come any time in there, right? Or do they have seatings? Anytime. But if you want to have more chance to go back for seconds, then you might want to come earlier. But call for reservations. The magic number is?
The magic number
is somewhere down on the sheet.
313-206-5101. Okay. And of course, earlier you get there, the better chance you have at the desserts afterwards as well, which are phenomenal.
The phone number, again, it's called the 5101 Restaurant. It's in our student center here at the front of the main campus of Henry Ford College off Evergreen, just south of Ford Road. But the point is, the phone number is 206-5101. So you just got to remember that 206, 313 area code, 206-5101 for reservations for the international buffets upcoming. Of course, they have information on the HFC website, which is still called hfcc.edu.
Yes. Okay. They call it henryfordculinary.com.
Henry Ford Culinary. Culinary. CULINARY.com. So they have their own little website there where you can get more information. Maybe make a reservation even on the website. I'm not sure. But okay. And cost, we should mention there is a little cost.
Cost is $14, but you're getting $35 worth of food easily. I mean, plus the service is just very nice. They're asking you for, you know, what would you like to, as far as drinks are concerned. Right. They'll bring any drinks to you as well.
You don't have to get everything yourself.
No.
No. And they'll clear away dirty dishes if you want to go back for seconds and things like that. So it's a great experience, and that's going to be one of our first four-year degree programs. The Culinary Arts Program will be a four-year degree. It's kind of already begun with some students, and I think we'll have the first bachelor's degree in that in about 2 years, maybe 3 years, but pretty soon. The state of Michigan has approved many community colleges that have advanced programs already. And since there's a great need for people to work in restaurants and hotels in the culinary arts, there's jobs out there. And so we're already pretty well set up with state-of-the-art kitchens and instruction. And so it's not that difficult for us to add a couple more classes and maybe a little advanced experience in, I don't know, making pastries and Roasting hogs,
yes.
Okay. Not to mention our ice carving component of the program, too. So that's quite unique. Because if you have did you have an ice sculpture there, too? Not this time.
I didn't see the ice sculpture.
It's a little warm, I know, for ice sculptures, but they're still practicing quick before it melts. Gotta do it very fast when it's warm outside. But very special program. So international buffets every Thursday, coming up for the next 5 weeks, maybe 4 weeks now left, I think.
4 weeks
and,
left.
And and 11 o'clock to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The phone number for reservations 313-206-5101. All righty.
Come with a great appetite, and you sure won't have to have dinner that night, so you'll have two meals killed with one's effort.
Okay, that's great. All right. Well, quick rundown of news, because this is the new WHFR Journal from WHFR.fm, the station making waves. And we do local news and opinions. Remember, all opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of anyone else here at Henry Ford College, but they might be. And we appreciate the freedom of speech and so on. So in the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday, in fact, even from this last Wednesday, Press and Guide and Times Herald, Dearborn Spirit Fest is going on. So next to Dearborn Homecoming, this is the biggest city festival in this area, although Wyandotte is pretty big. Is that coming up yet, John? Where are we? That's in August.
Wyandotte, the Arts July? Fair is normally in August.
Okay, that's the Arts Fair, yeah.
And then we currently have the farm markets also happening on Thursdays.
And I know you're from Grosse Ile. Trenton has a Spirit Fest of some sort.
We had a they have a cultural festival that happens usually middle of July, July 12th, 13th.
And I saw in the paper, I can't remember, Melvindale is having a festival coming up. So they all do, Taylor and so on. But the one that's happening this very weekend, okay, in fact, it's going on now probably. The carnival rides are spinning around since last Wednesday, since 2 days ago. This has been going on. There is a schedule.
I'm going to try to find it.
Because I was waiting for the actual day-by-day Spirits Festival schedule, and I probably can't find it now. Okay, wait a minute. Times Herald. Okay. It's broken down a little better. All kinds of things going on. There is a story about how the Spirit Fest is going to be spotlighting this year service clubs. Service clubs, various major civic organizations are getting in the cooperative spirit out there in Dearborn Heights, to coin a term, expanding an initiative which they work together to ultimately improve the quality of life. So there'll be special activities and hosting going on by the Goodfellows, Kiwanis, Lions, and Rotary chapters in this Spirit Fest out there in Dearborn Heights. And still turning the pages here for the schedule. And I know it's in here somewhere. This is real live news because you can hear the pages turning on the air, as we say many times. Okay. Well, can't find it. Okay. It's got to be in there. Give me that. Jesus. We got too many papers here. At least there's no such thing as having too many papers, you know. But when you're trying to find something and... I know one of the big sponsors, just to mention that the nice people, besides the service clubs, is Antonio's Italian Restaurants. And they're even doing a special a taste fest at the Canfield Community Center out there, as well as helping the Spirit Fest along. And so that's going to be... that's very nice of them. Thank you very much for helping the public on that. Well, this 20th annual festival is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Ford Mustang. Okay, and so there's various things that are part of it to highlight the city's 50th anniversary. Not that the Mustang began in Dearborn Heights. No, it didn't start in Dearborn Heights, but they probably started at the Rouge plant, I think. That's where they first made Mustangs. Page 8A. I'm getting close. I'm getting close. The suspension is building here.
Yes.
Okay. We're not going to worry about Thursday or Friday. Well, Friday is Community Service Clubs Night, so that's relevant. With the Heights, Lions, Kiwanis, and Rotary Clubs offering information, as I said, tonight is their night. And the major attraction is a group called Arizona Sun Country Band. Now get this, featuring Devin Skillian.
Yes, very good.
He's a country singer in his spare time when he's not a news anchor at WDIV Channel 4. So that should be fun. It's called Arizona Sun Country Band tonight. Don't have the time, but that's at the Spirit Fest tonight. And they say they're really thrilled to have him there. Also on Friday will be the annual Pasta and Pizza Feast sponsored by the CHS. That would be Crestwood High School cheerleaders. The cheerleaders will also give a performance later tonight. Tomorrow, Saturday, is Military Appreciation Day. Music, dancing, and workshops about the military. I don't know. But the big performer at night who's done these things for years over there, Steve King and the Diddleys. Don't ask me what a diddly is. I don't know. But they perform hits from the 60s and 70s, which are still popular, okay, at least among them. We hope to see the community come out and say thank you to those who worked so hard for our freedom. That's the Saturday Military Appreciation Day. That is tomorrow. And on Sunday, the final day of the festival is Family Day, which will begin with a pancake breakfast, one of my personal favorite breakfasts, before residents are invited to attend a vintage car display presented by the Redford Mustang Club. So that's where the Mustang people get together. So you can go and ogle some of the classic Mustangs there after the pancake breakfast. And it's a new attraction and something to check out. Bob Seger Tribute Band is going to be performing Sunday night. You know, some of those tribute bands sound more like the original than the original does anymore.
Yep.
I don't know about Bob Seger, all due respect. Kathmandu is the name of that band, but they are a Bob Seger Tribute Band. And, those bands really practice very hard to sound exactly like the recordings, in fact, as people remember them.
And so. Kathmandu is a very, very good band. I've heard them two different occasions.
Look at that, a personal endorsement from John Conroy himself.
Very fine.
So it's got to be good. Now, there is, an admission fee. I know there's certainly a cost for riding the rides, but they have a pay-one-price wristband sort of thing for the kids or the adults that want to do that. And you'll find out when you get there. It's at the Canfield Center. And that is at 1801 North Beach Daily. And I think it's just south of Ford Road, though. Not sure, but you could Google it. It's the Canfield Center, Dearborn Heights. And that's where it all takes place. Big field, big area there. Amusement park rides, concerts, all those events we were mentioning. Still going on. Three great days still coming up. And, of course, we're looking forward to being at Dearborn Homecoming. Last but not least, in city festivals that I mentioned today anyway, and that will be August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We'll be out there for 10 hours, straight through 10 hours, and doing the journal live from Dearborn's Ford Field.
Yes.
During that festival on August 1st. So that's always fun out there in the sun and the heat. And no, it's great fun, really is. Last year's weather, I think, was almost perfect. Amazingly, a little bit cooler.
It's a little bit cooler, that's
like
right.
Like, the world is getting colder. Apparently, last winter was cold, so. But it'll be a lot of fun. So, okay, what else is happening around here other than all this fun and entertainment and food that we've been talking about today? Oh, my gosh, aren't there any issues? Aren't there any politics?
Well, we also have I wanted to mention a brief thing about Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
There's a great, it's the rock opera by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. It's going to be opens the Downriver Actors Guild New Theater on the Avenue on Friday with a two-weekend run. And show times are 7:30 June 6th, 7th, 13th, and 14th, and 3 p.m. June 8th and 15th, Sundays. And this theater, the new location for this theater is at 2656 Biddle. And it's only $15 for adults and $12 for students.
Yeah, big time spectacle. We did it here at Henry Ford about 20, 30 years ago, and people here had a lot of fun with that. You might be confusing it, folks, if you're really on top of things. The Fisher Theater was going to have a big touring production of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it was just canceled last week because supposedly of not enough advance tickets sold. So it was a multi-million-dollar production, and they lost everything because they canceled it before they could collect any money. I'm sure they refunded money from those people with the early ticket sales. But I'm sure it was the fact that everybody was planning to go to Wyandotte next weekend and the weekend after that. Don't forget Fools, though, at HFCC. So one day for Jesus Christ Superstar, one day for Fools in the next 2 weeks, okay? I mean, two great great productions, I'm sure, done by local community groups.
It sounds like we can enjoy a playful weekend, Jay.
Okay. And let's let me get to an actual issue here, okay?
Yeah.
Last Sunday's Pressing Guide did talk about Dearborn Public Schools ready to spend money. And you say, well, so what? We approved of it. It's bond money. They had a lot of improvements, so they're going to spend money. And this story leads into another story, which is a late-breaking story, which we'll see in this Sunday's Press and Guy, but it's on their website now. Anyway, one of the things they're spending money on is $1.5 million payment to Henry Ford College because they bought our Dearborn Heights campus from us. We decided to move back because we had a little building space here thanks to the acquisition of the Society of Mechanical Engineers facility, which is now our welcome center and community meeting place. So we had the space there for not only a great new registrar's office and admissions office, much bigger and very computerized than before, great service area, but also meetings for the community. And so we were able to bring some programs because of the extra facilities here in our main campus area. We brought the programs back from Dearborn Heights, and we've sold the building to Dearborn Public Schools for $1.5 million, which is a real deal because the Dearborn Heights campus was a big area, a big facility. Although in the back of my head, I have to say, and nothing wrong with this, but isn't it owned by the same people? See, the Henry Ford College is run by the Board of Trustees, but those people are exactly the same people who are on the Board of Education. So they're always in agreement.
They should be.
Because, you know, they're the same people. I mean, do they change their mind from one meeting to the next? We are a separate legal entity, you know, licensed with the state of Michigan. So Henry Ford College is not the Dearborn Public Schools, even though we actually have the same people as our directing board, Board of Trustees, Board of Education. Two different boards, but the same people. But two different legal entities. So actually, yes, the property does have to change hands. And I think $1.5 million for the Dearborn Heights campus is a great deal. I mean, think of the condos you could build there instead of the I mean, seriously, that's a fairly good large-size area with the parking lots and that. And that would have some commercial value, I'm sure. But anyway, $1.5 million. That building is attached to a building there at that same area that they built, that the Board of Ed built already. It's called the Michael Berry Career Center. And that's right there. Again, this is located at Outer Drive and Ann Arbor Trail, this former HFCC Dearborn Heights campus. Okay. The Dearborn Public Schools is planning to move, expand, or launch several programs on the site starting this fall. Okay. Now, we switch to the news story. From the Dearborn Press and Guide website, just released yesterday, the city administration offices will be moving soon to City Hall, from City Hall at Schaefer in Michigan Avenue, to the Dearborn Administrative Center at 16901 Michigan Avenue. It's west of the Centennial Library. However, this is the punchline, Dearborn Public Schools will not be making the move. When the city first negotiated in 2012 the purchase of the center, they said, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of extra space in that building, so public schools are welcome to come on in. Well, at a city council meeting in February, the option of moving the Dearborn Public Schools administrative options from its current home at the former Tenike Elementary School to the center was brought up, since the Tenike Center is in bad shape. Okay, really, roof is leaking, a lot of bad things, but of course they did get that bond issue to allow them to repair things, right, such as maybe the Tenike Center. Anyway, it came up again, so Mayor Jack O'Reilly said the offer was extended for Dearborn Public Schools to move their administrative center into the Dearborn Administrative Center, which will house the former City Hall offices anyway. Well, okay, an official letter from the school board president, Board of Ed President Hussein Berry, sent to city officials, that is Dearborn city officials, this just last Wednesday, said the district will not be pursuing a move to the center. After much thought and deliberation, we decided long ago not to pursue this option. We made a promise to the citizens of Dearborn to not use the bond money to relocate our administrative offices. Barry mentioned the possibility of combining operations. Get this. This struck me. With Henry Ford College, since the district serves the same population. And we have that great early college program with the Dearborn Public Schools.
Certainly.
Where just going an extra 1 year, if they start in the junior year, they can actually graduate not only from high school, but also have a two-year college degree at no extra cost in terms of tuition. Wow, what a deal. In fact, Governor Rick Snyder just commented on that in a meeting he had, was it Mackinac, last week.
Yep, Mackinac.
And he said he thinks those early college programs are just fantastic because of the money they save everybody. The schools and the students save on the tuition so they can save up for those last 2 years at a four-year school somewhere else, unless they want to do 4 years at HFC in culinary arts.
There you go.
Maybe something else. So, but Hussein Barry did not expand on that option about how they're going to combine with us. And I was wondering, are they going to use the Dearborn Heights campus, which they paid $1.5 million for, for their new administrative center? Or, I mean, the last thing I heard was that probably they're going to use some of the bond money to refurbish the Ten Eyck Center. The problem with that is it's going to need so much money to repair it, it will almost be cheaper to tear it down.
Rebuild.
So
mm-hmm.
it would be cheaper for them, yeah, just to tear it down and make it a parking lot or sell it for, you know, commercial use, rezone it over there, and have them move their administrative center to Dearborn Heights campus, okay. which is not that far from Dearborn. It's just, you know, half block north of Ford Road or so, a block north. And I'm just wondering, because they say, well, we weren't going to use bond money to relocate our administrative offices. But the money they're going to have to spend to redo Ten Eyck is going to be substantial. I don't know what the break-even there is, but that's how he sees it. But this combining operations with Henry Ford College for their administrative services, I wonder, could they, what about their, I mean, the budgeting office, the controller offices? Okay, and spinning from that, folks, is a story that's in Wednesday's paper. And Wednesday's Press and Guide, and I just found out about it, but here I am, an employee, part-time, of Henry Ford College. We have a new employee, a new vice president, no less, brand new position here. And her name is Eileen Husband, and in the picture they have in the Press and Guide, it says Eileen and then Husband with a small H.
Right.
Now, she does have a husband, but... And his last name is, guess what? Well, it's probably husband. Who knows? A lot of women keep their own maiden name.
Yeah.
No disrespect there. But they had, did not capitalize her last name. So Eileen the Husband, it looks like. Oh, well. Well, I'm trying to think. We have now a permanent lawyer on staff to advise with negotiations and contracts and everything we do. Because it should be legal. Everybody agrees. In the past, we've paid quite sizable stipends, retainers they're called, to legal firms to be our buddy, and they'll come to our aid if there's any specific need, and then we pay extra money. But it's a discounted rate once you've got this retainer, you know, once you've got them sort of right. under contract to be at your beck and call.
They come on demand.
Right. They come on demand, and they don't charge you quite as much as they would if you had to hire them for one contract at a time. Nonetheless, that probably adds up. And the number of times we might need legal advice, doesn't everybody these days, is probably quite frequent. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe there's general counsel, full-time legal people at the Dearborn Public Schools. I don't know.
Nope.
I mean, I'm not just saying. I've never heard of them having a lawyer of their own on staff, and they must have legal issues. They're a lot bigger operation than Henry Ford College. I mean, a lot more people, a lot more, 60, 70 buildings altogether, all the different schools,
wow.
and administrative resources and all the different contracts from all the different unions. A lot bigger deal than Henry Ford College in terms of administrative size. Why, I just raised this question, why don't we share legal counsel?
Seems to make sense, you know.
But we're two different legal entities. Mm-hmm. See, there's that problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though we have the same board of trustees as people, they're wearing different legal hats, if you will, when they talk about and vote on these two different entities. So I guess we can't share, but that would seem logical. I mean, it's all in Dearborn, and we're if we're combining a lot of other resources, why wouldn't we have the same permanent legal advice? City of Dearborn has their own legal department full-time, and let me say, they've needed it over the years, and they're at every meeting of the council. There's always one of the either the main city lawyer or some of the staff there, at least, and they often attend a lot of the individual committee meetings of when the community comes in to talk about permits or rezoning or whatever. They usually have a representative from the legal department at those meetings because these issues come up all the time. And so we welcome Eileen Husband as a new vice president here and general counsel of Henry Ford College. Just had a few questions I had to mention. I'm sorry, but I think it's the difference between the two legal entities that you can't really share everything as a cost saving. If we were one legal entity, like they used to talk about K through 14 district.
Yes.
We're not that. Okay. We're not one legal entity. Okay. So that's the problem. And I'm not sure we could become a K-14. That used to be a trend in the olden days. I think Highland Park. I don't think they have a community college anymore, even. But that was considered K through 14, and they could run the whole thing together. Okay. History is popping up in the back of my head here. I think we were K-14 at one point years ago. And then we decided to separate. Why? Because we had certain budget allotments, and if the K-12 system, the public schools, ran a little short of money, they'd take it out of the money they said we could have, because it's all one pool, really, isn't it? Well, we didn't like that very much.
We didn't feel
We wanted to do things differently in terms of, well, even contracts with our employees, because we employ college professors. Little difference there. They can't have the same pay scales as the public school teachers, typically not, okay? And even all of our full-time teachers, for example, they must have their own office to meet with students outside of class. That's in the contract. That's not the case for Dearborn Public School teachers. They might have a combined lunchroom they can use, but they don't have offices because they just don't do those things. They're in the classroom the whole day, so that's their office. You know, maybe between sessions there might be a few minutes to talk to students, but... it's not a thing of having office hours. So there's differences, and we split. So we're not K-14 anymore, but we were. When did that change? Under Dr. Stuart Bundy? Early 70s? Long time ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we're separate, so that's why we got to do things a little bit differently. Okay. Speaking of the school board, and weren't we talking about them a lot, we don't know who's going to be running for the school board elections this fall yet. There's still a month to go, and yet candidates have already been selected for the primary and in August. But because this election is not until the fall, they have time to work that out. Wait a minute. Shouldn't there be a primary? Let's see here. Hang on. They have until next month. That would be July. Yeah, because the paper came out in June, by July 22nd. So I guess there's not going to be a primary then.
That will be too late for the August 5th primary,
right?
Obviously.
Yeah, so it's just going to be in November. And in Dearborn Public Schools, three seats are open, all of them six-year terms. That's a long time. And expiring seats are those of Hussein Berry, James Schoolmaster, and Pamela Adams. And nobody's filed petitions yet. Because they still got a month to go. And in Dearborn Heights, I think there's going to be two seats open, and both are six-year terms also. And so we'll let you know. Westwood has got three seats opening, so we don't know what's going to be happening there, but we'll have that story later. The other part of that is an event coming up next week, because one of the big primary points is... Wrong piece. You have it.
I got it.
Okay. Yep. There's a special event here at Henry Ford Community College next week, Thursday night, 7 to 8:30. And it's going to be all the candidates who are running in the, well, they were all invited anyway. And we've got, How many said yes? It's about
confirmations of
quite a few.
One, two. It looks like about 10.
Yeah, I think
confirmations.
I think there's 12 candidates left, and we've got 10 confirmations. And in that hour and a half, you'll get to see, and even meet and greet, maybe a little bit before or after, all of the candidates for the chief executive of Wayne County. And some have familiar names like Kavanaugh, McNamara, of course, Robert Fracano running for re-election. But this is going to be a fantastic forum, a little bit of a debate, I guess. They probably can only have about 10 minutes each. We don't know the actual construct of the meeting. But if there's 90 minutes and 10 candidates,
Get
9 minutes each?
Another 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know how you could have a debate. One question, give everybody 3 minutes. Going to only be two questions for the whole. So however they're going to do it, that we're going to have them all here. And where is that? Main campus, Henry Ford College, what we call our Administrative Services and Conference Center, ASCC, also called the Mazzara Building. And there's a big auditorium in there. And that's where it's going to be. It's right up front, the front of the campus, next to the student center. It's a four-story building, and the auditorium is on the first floor. Parking, free parking all around there. So next Thursday, June 12th, 7 to 8:30, if you're interested, in fact, anyone who's interested, not just students and faculty here at Henry Ford College, anyone who votes in Wayne County, come on down. Attend. No cost. And this is co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights, the League of Women Voters Northwest Wayne County, and also the League of Women Voters Grosse Pointe. So they're all coming together to get all these people in one place. I hope somebody videotapes it and puts it on cable somewhere for those that can't attend. But that's a great way to figure out who's going to be the best candidate for the executive, the chief executive of Wayne County. The top two will go on to compete in November. For the final decision. And just information here, there's only two women.
Wow.
Two women.
I was going to say also.
Nonetheless, next Thursday.
Let's put a reminder in to those that have not confirmed that they're coming to be part of this forum to confirm so that we can
right.
get you all out there.
WHFR will hold a grudge. That'll hurt you. Shame them. That's right.
We want you to get everyone to get their chance to express how they feel.
Even if it's only for 9 minutes.
However long it is.
Yeah. But I think the point is if you see a person in real life, even if they're only talking for 9 minutes, you get more of an idea if they're an honest person, if they're a serious person, if they have any intelligence at all, whereas in a 30-second TV spot, you're going to get the best 15 seconds these people were ever photographed being. You know, I mean, out of days of shooting, we got a good 12 seconds. That's what we're going to use. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the time, they're not quite so sharp, perhaps. So never believe a TV political commercial. Never believe that. Never accept it. Don't pay attention to it. Tune it out. Turn the channel to somewhere else. But in person, I don't think it takes too long to size somebody up.
No, and I think it makes a great difference for someone to see the person face to face, for sure.
Okay. Back to news. Yes. The Dearborn, as we said last week, we weren't quite sure, but I was pretty sure. But it wasn't official. Yes, there is a new budget for the 2014-2015 year in Dearborn. And the Dearborn officials said in last Sunday's press and guide, time for cuts is over. That's right. In fact, they're even raising taxes a little bit. It's their option to do so. A slight increase to cover various essential budgets. And that's understandable. Let me find it here. The cuts. For some reason, they buried the story, though, and I can't understand why. It's page 15A of last Sunday's paper. It's like they didn't want to put it on the first page, or did it come too late? I'm just wondering about that. I found it. Okay. Yeah. And, of course, even though the budget was approved unanimously by all our city council members, and usually You know, usually Tom Tufelski usually votes nay on any tax increase, but he said he was worried about the decision to raise taxes, but he voted for it. Okay? And again, it's only a slight increase from the previous year, and it's not going to be, you know, that noticeable. But he said he has seen cut after cut to the city's budget over the years. Was starting, and he thought it was starting to reflect in what residents saw around Dearborn. In other words, he said, for the first time, we're not continuing to cut in areas like the DPW, Department of Public Works. Okay, we're going to keep the place clean and trash picked up. And he says, if at some point we don't just want to have police and fire, we have to do some other things. We got to do more than just that to maintain police and fire. He said it was time to put back into the budget what is needed to maintain a standard of cleanliness. And Council President Susan DeBaggio said that since her start on the council at the beginning of the year, the most comments she has heard from residents are in regard to cleanliness and order around the city. And one big issue that came out of that is I'll find it.
Okay.
Yes. The top story probably for Sunday's edition of Press and Guide coming up, what's on their website now. City Council members are considering an amendment to Dearborn's tall grass and weed ordinance. Property owners are required, talk about keeping the place clean and looking good.
Right, right.
Property owners are required to keep grass and weeds cut to 6 inches maximum or less year-round. Violators are given a 3-day notice for abatement and fined $100 for their first offense. Hmm. These rules are not changing. They said the proposed change will be made to the calendar year, President DeBaggio said. The change extends the calendar year, the time in which a property owner's violations of the ordinance are counted, to a 2-year period. So you can't just have that first warning every year and then you cut your grass.
No, no.
Okay, if they warned you last year and then you cut it, and then you it's still long in the second year, you don't get a warning, you get the fine in the second year. No. See how that works? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so get out there with your yardsticks and your rulers. And if you got more than 6 inches, how hard do you have to push the stick into the ground? I just wonder. You know, unfortunately, you know, I'm kind of not in favor with our overzealous and costly snow removal. Yes, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in favor of this grass cutting thing. Certainly people whose grass is at 8 inches or 10 or something like that, that's very unsightly. It depends on the grass, would you believe, though? Mm-hmm. There are some grasses that grow so thick. I know I have some people in my neighborhood, and I don't know how they do it. I guess they fertilize a lot. Their grass must be always 4 inches tall, and it's so thick you could walk on it without sinking in. I mean, it is so thick. It's amazing. And I don't have to water as much because I let my grass go to the maximum limit. Whereas the person next door lengths it down at 2 inches.
Oh, yeah.
And he has to water every other day or it's going to die. Mm. I mean, it's not even that warm now, but he's still watering every 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they do say for the good of our planet and not wasting water, you shouldn't be cutting your grass so short. And isn't it more effort and more time? But, you know, people have their own individual ideas of cleanliness. Now, of course, if you've got a lot of weeds and all the dandelions are sending their little shoots off, that's a problem. Yep. So the city is right on top of it, folks. And watch out. With the extra tax money they got, they're going to send those inspectors around with the rulers, and they're probably going to be jumping on a bunch of yards and giving all those extra tickets. Imagine a couple $100 in every neighborhood every week or two. They could run the whole city that way.
They could make cash that way, yeah.
That's cool cash. I bet they're wondering, because no disrespect here, Dearborn Heights really pulls in a ton of traffic speeding violations from Ford Road coming to the college. Did you get one, John?
I just got a speeding ticket. As a matter of fact, today's Friday, Wednesday, yes. on the